This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Dave Ross in for Stormy today alongside Michael Lombardi. Michael, going to have Harry Gagnon join us here in the bottom half of this hour. Be a lot of fun to have Harry on as always. I did want to get to some things in the NBA before we get to what's on your mind today. And I know what's on the league's mind, and that is they don't want to suspend one of their star players. And Jamal Murray will not be suspended. He did get fined $100,000, but no suspension for tossing multiple items on the court in their game 2 loss to Minnesota. So he will be available for game 3. You know, I saw some consternation, like if this was David Stern and he was still running things, maybe it'd be different. I mean, Draymond Green got suspended way back in the day, but that was an automatic suspension that was triggered by too many technicals. What do you make of this, of the league? $100,000 doesn't feel like a real disciplinary action.
Well, I mean, he's got to protect the league. One of the positions of the commissioner is to protect the integrity of the league, right? Mm-hmm. And if he takes away Denver's best player, then, you know, Minnesota, which has a 2-game lead already on the road in Denver, you know, what do you think that game's going to be like?
Right.
But, you know, this has been the story of the league. I mean, Pat Riley basically called out the commissioner at his press conference the other day because of this whole, you know, he's tired of players missing games. He's tired. He was speaking from his owner's position of we're paying large sums of money and these guys are missing large sums of games. Mm. Like, and it's all guaranteed. And so, you know, Steve Ballmer, Steve Ballmer's a business guy. Could you imagine writing the check for Kawhi and knowing he's never healthy? I mean, how is that good business, right? And so what I think the commissioner's never really, he's not addressed that. Now, give him credit. He upped the minimum to get an award. You got to play in so many games. Mm-hmm. But the reality of it is he's always going to be soft on the players. That's just what has been Adam Silver's mantra since he's taken over the league. And Stern ran the league. Silver, along with the players, run the league. And there lies the difference. And so this doesn't surprise me. You know, they still haven't fined Embiid for twisting Mitchell Robinson's leg. I mean, that was absurd. And I'm a Sixer fan, and I thought that was a cheap shot at the highest level. How about the cheap shot on that he gave Brunson? You know, I mean, if that would have happened in the NFL, let's say, mm-hmm. if he would have elbowed Brunson like that, whether you got called for a penalty or not, you're going to get fined. Right? You're getting fined for that. Right. Even if they didn't call a penalty. I mean, how many Fridays do we go through the fine list on the shows and this guy got fined? You know, some of the times they fine players in the preseason. They can't even pay the fine. They don't have any money.
Yeah, it is.
But they're on top of the game.
Right.
They're on top of the game. This is just a joke.
You know, David Stern, I recount a story of him when he was commissioner and they said on a player suspension, did it go to a vote? And he said, yes. And it passed unanimously. One zip. Like that, David Stern made a decision.
Right.
And
that's called leadership. That's called leadership.
Called
leadership. But we have a committee, you know, we have a committee. And so everybody wants to we can't make a LeBron upset. We can't, you know, we can't get the players upset. You know, we're partners with the players. Yeah, you're partners with the players. And they're certainly being rewarded with a lot of money. But you also have to protect the league and the quality of play within the league. Like I say this all the time. If Broadway had the load management rule that's been instilled into the NBA, nobody would go see a Broadway play. Like, nobody would go see a Broadway play. Like, oh, I'm driving to New York today and I want to go watch the Broadway play. I'm going to watch Beautiful. Oh, two stars aren't in it. Okay, no problem. Here's my $400 ticket. No problem. Like, come on.
It's a great analogy.
By the way, I get injuries. Yeah. Injuries are part of the game.
But
I get that.
Load management
nonsense. It's completely nonsensical. And shockingly, the players aren't ready to play when the games are on the line.
Now, and you mentioned Mitchell Robinson. He's not going to be able to play for quite some time, 6 to 8 weeks before he's reevaluated now with a stress injury. So he's going to be out. We've got game 2 tonight, the only game in the association with the Knicks at home. 5-point favorites against the Pacers here. Boy, we talked about a little bit in hour number one, Michael, but that bench, it just gets thinner for the Knicks.
It really does. I just don't see why is the line 5? You know, Halliburton took 6 shots. Like, I think Halliburton's going to play better. Now, maybe he's injured. You know, maybe he's not the same guy. But, I mean, he's a really good player.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one of the things that I know having been in sports and been around, there's a sense, even in losses, there's a sense of confidence that happens to come when you play a team, right? Like, okay, we know how to play this team. All right, we got it. And I think Carlisle's a really good coach. And I think Carlisle understands how to handle it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised. I mean, look, Carlisle knows that they have right now, if you take Mitchell's 12 minutes off their bench, so McBride played 11 and Achiuwa Precious played four. Four is all he played. Where are they going? Where's he going? To Sims? Like, I'm surprised he's not playing Alex Burke because Alex Burke can score.
Yeah.
Like, I, you know, now maybe he's a liability for Thibodeau on defense. But look, the Knicks shot 53% from the field. Okay. Mm. They shot 48% from 3-point line.
Wow.
And they barely won the game. Think about that now. They shot 48% from the 3-point line, 47.8. Let's round it up. They shot 53.7 from the 2-point line, and they held on, and it took a illegal pick call to win that game.
Yeah, a couple, right? Yeah, 2-way calls in the final minute go their way.
It goes back to one thing I've learned watching basketball my whole life. When Larry Bird was cold in the first quarter, I just should have just turned the TV off.
Because you knew.
Because he was going to score 40 in the fourth quarter. What I wanted Bird to do was be great in the first quarter.
Yeah.
So that eventually he wouldn't be great.
So he'd cool
and
off.
When you beat a team that, when you lose to a team that shot 48% from the 3-point line, you know the next game they ain't doing that.
Right.
That's going to revert back to the mean.
They're getting 5 tonight, Indiana. And again, that total at 218.5. Now, last night we saw OKC roll Dallas, especially in that second half, 117.95. The under tickets cash there. OKC easily covers that 3.5. You and I have been talking a lot the last couple of days about this. You know, these teams are too young. That narrative that's been out there for certain teams. Here's Mark Daigneault, coach of the year, by the way, in the NBA, talking about his mature Oklahoma City Thunder.
A lot of it comes from respect for the opponent. Like, we know this is a heavyweight, you know, matchup, and that this is a really good team, and that to think that you're going to go through games or a series when they don't land their punches is just unrealistic. And so they landed a couple punches there, and it's a long series. You know, we have to be ready for a better version of them, you know, coming out in game two. We would expect that. And I think knowing that helps us in those moments, you know, to just understand that, you know, this is what they do. They're a really good team. They're here for a reason. They're really good players. We just got to stay with our stuff and stack possessions.
There he is. So he doesn't sound like a coach or a team that's blinded by the light here. And I think it does get to something that might be on your mind today about team building. And you're seeing it with OKC and Sam Presti. What have you seen and what they've been able to do? Because I think a lot of people look back and they go, well, feels like yesterday they had James Harden and Russell Westbrook, and that didn't work out. And then this new crop of Thunder coming in, this might have more of a long-term run and feel to it.
Well, if you just go through it, which I did today, and you look at how he put the team together, it's somewhat remarkable, right? I mean, it's really impressive that he's added players from all different avenues, second-round picks. Wiggins is a second-round pick. Jalen Williams, a high second-round pick. It isn't just all, you know, lottery picks. And mm-hmm. What I think the core of the success of Presti, they had two bad seasons. They won 20 games in 2 years, 20-plus games in 2 years. You know, each year they won 20, and then they took that giant step. But I think the player development, the willingness to keep competing, to have this winner mentality where they have mental toughness, which is what the coach was just indicating. It's not going to all be a bed of roses, right? It's not going to be perfect. And one of the things I think he set himself up with is when you look at this team and you go through their future first round picks, like, he's not going to be prisoner to any player who's just good. He can let all the good players go because he can replace them with cheap contracts because he's got so many first-round picks. He'll sign the great ones. He'll max out the great ones. But he's never going to overpay for good. And he's done that. He set his franchise up by being able to have that flexibility. That, okay, if this player, Jalen Williams, you know, he's worth this and he's going to get double the money, okay, I got a first-round pick to replace him. And again, what I keep harping on, it takes talent to evaluate talent. Mm. Presti's ability to evaluate talent is what separates him, going back to when he was the first GM in Seattle. And he came to Oklahoma City and he put together that big three. Mm-hmm. They had to break it up. Harden wouldn't take the $5 million less of a contract. We should have known what was going on at that point. And then life went on. But I mean, when you just go through this thing, David, it's really remarkable on how many first round picks he's got. He's got three this year that are two of them are protected, right? Mm-hmm. Utah's pick is protected 1 through 10. He's got the Clippers pick that has no protection, right? In 25, he has four picks in the first round that he might get, he might not. He's got Philly's pick, which is protected 1 through 6. So if Philly finishes 7th, he gets that pick. And then he's got Miami's pick protected 1 through 14. I mean, this guy's got multiple picks all the way through. In 26, he's got 3 second-round picks. In 27, he's got a first-round pick with the Clippers. I mean, this just goes on and on. And all those picks are going to translate into players, and he's not going to be held hostage. Oh, we have to sign this guy because we don't have anybody.
Yeah, that's why when you look at it and we talk about it, this team-building concept, I mean, it doesn't look a whole lot better than that because they've already arrived now. This is the number one seed out West right now, and they've got all those picks on the horizon, Michael. So that's as – I mean, it's different, obviously, in the NFL to draw those parallels, but that's what great executives do, right? They're not just looking at this year. They're looking beyond.
Right, and they're willing to say goodbye to a player.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to be held prisoner to one player.
Yeah, sometimes that's hard to do. You can't get married to those guys. But Sam Presti, great stuff. What's on your mind today? Looks like the future certainly bright, not just now, but in the distant future for OKC. When we come back, let's talk about some stat leader and some props in the NFL next here in the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
For a limited time only, we're offering our annual subscription for an unbeatable price. Normally priced at $240, you can now grab your subscription for just $199. So sign up today. Going to give you an extra 2 months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use the promo code Lombardi. So with VSiN Pro, you're going to get instant access to our daily best bets with a leaderboard to see who has the best win percentage and ROI, 19 hours of live programming, including expert breakdowns, in-game analysis, plus proven betting systems from our professional handicappers, our exclusive betting splits showing you where the money and the bets are moving for every single game. So visit VSiN.com/subscribe today. Claim your 14 months of VSiN Pro for only $199 with the promo code Lombardi. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Back alongside Michael Lombardi, Dave Ross here. It is time now to look at some stat leader props and some numbers associated with them, Michael. And there's so many different ways you can look at these props and marry them to, obviously, if it's the quarterback and the receiving core with the head coach, the style of play these teams want to play. But you can understand when you look at the regular season passing yards, while you get some of those usual suspects up there at the top of the board. You got Patrick Mahomes, of course. He is at 5-1 to lead this discussion. Maybe a bit of surprise that you go right to C.J. Stroud next at 6-1, and I know they added Stephon Diggs this year. There's Dak down there deep in the heart at +650. Goff in Detroit at 8-1 with Tua. They got OBJ there in Miami. And then Joey B is back at at +850 before you get to the double digits. Let's go on the left column first.
Odell's going to make a huge difference. I'm shocked Tua's number. I mean, it's going to be unbelievable. I mean, I'm shocked Tua's not minus money with OBJ there.
He should be odds on.
He'll just take over the game. I mean, it's like Stephon Diggs. He's going to take it over. And, you know, like these two guys are going into teams. They have to be the third receiver. Mm-hmm. Look, when I see this list, when Elliot sent me the rundown this morning, mm-hmm. I mean, Joe Burrow at +850 with T. Higgins and Jamar Chase, both of them in contract years. And here's what you have to kind of weigh into this, too. Zach Taylor loves calling pass plays as much as anybody. And they'll throw it up the field. They'll throw it quite a bit. Now, I mean, can Zach Moss help him in the run game? Yeah, I sure think he could. But I do think that you're going to get explosive plays out of them. And the same thing with Tua. You know, thank God they have OBJ in there. I don't know what they would do. I haven't slept. I haven't been worried about it since he's arrived. You know, he's a Hall of Fame player. You know, yeah, that's right. Sure, we got that one. Like, to me, Stroud... Like, let's be clear here. Mahomes isn't going to – they can't change what they do in KC,
right,
the way they play. They're going to have to feature Pacheco as much as they did last year. They're not – their left tackle situation is very iffy. their skill plays receiver. I mean, I know we think Rashid Rice, who probably is headed for a long-term suspension mm-hmm. based on the evidence that's been coming out, you know, or he may not even be on the team, frankly. And so, you know, I think to me, you've got to look at the how they have to play to win, right? Like Texas has to play balance to run the ball, play action pass, and Stroud. So there's going to be some passing games, but there's also going to be games you're going to have to run it. Whereas I think Burrow and Tua, I mean, their call sheets are all passes.
Yeah.
If you want to go Cousins at 14-1, God bless them if they can protect them. We'll see if that works. Josh Allen, you know, let's face it, Josh Allen, it's all loose plays. The reason he's 18-1 is because he makes as much with his feet as mm-hmm. he does with his arm.
I look at Jordan Love at 16-1. Does that entice you at all? No Aaron Jones now. He's in Minnesota. You got Josh Jacobs there because they got a bunch of receivers. Jacobs. Right?
Well, Jacobs is good in the passing game. I mean, Jacobs can do everything Aaron Jones did in the passing game if he's in shape and if he has his legs. Last year, the contract holdout and his lower body wasn't the same. And it could be the residue of 300 carries, right? Mm-hmm. The only person who's been immune to 300 carries is Derrick Henry. He's been immune to it. He kind of gets it over. Emmitt Smith, they went through it a couple years, and all of a sudden he hit that wall. You know, I thought Aaron Jones was the difference in that Packer offense late in the year. But I'm with you on Love. I love their receivers. You know, if Watson can stay healthy and not have the hamstring, I think they're really good. I would not be – because they're going to call a lot of pass plays, too.
16-1 feels like there might be some value in that number with the plethora of receivers they have there. For rushing yards, and again, it gets back to what you just talked about, the call sheet, Michael. Which teams want to run it, which teams want to try to be balanced, and which teams really just want to chuck it all over the place. I look at one long shot coming back off injury, and knowing what Kevin Stefanski likes to do in Cleveland, that's Nick Chubb at 25-1. Does that worry you because the gruesome nature of the injury? And there's Pacheco at 22-1.
I wouldn't touch it.
You wouldn't touch Chubb?
No chance. I mean, I don't know if he's healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, he can be cleared to play, but playing good is a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a gruesome injury. A Pacheco is a great call, but the problem is you can't trust Andy to call runs. I mean, they're going to rotate. They brought Hilaire back too. So he's going to have a committee, and eventually, you know, they're going to throw it. I think the guy that jumps out on this at 650-1 is Barkley.
Wow.
Because Barkley was brought in for a specific purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
Barkley, if he stays healthy, Barkley was brought in to run the ball, to give them a better version of Miles Sanders. And they're going to run it. Like, they are going to run it. Now, unless Kellen Moore all of a sudden goes off the reservation and can't wait to start calling pass plays, which will be a problem, but I think so. And same thing with Jonathan Taylor. They know they got, with a rookie quarterback, because he's only started two games last year, they've got to run it. All the other guys, I think it's hard to peg. The other one would be Henry at 12-1, because if you're going to play Henry, you got to put Lamar under center, and you got to hand the big fella the ball. Like, you can't go into the game and say, we're just going to give Henry 10 carries, because where Henry wins is on carry 15-22. He wears your ass down. Nobody wants to tackle him. So to me, that's where I get into a little bit of you got to look and pick and choose. Like McCaffrey, I wouldn't touch that in a million years, only because can he stay healthy 2 years in a row? Mm-hmm. That worries you. And, you know, they drafted the Guerrero kid in the fourth round from Louis. They're going to rotate. They got to keep McCaffrey fresh for January.
What about Bijan? Because there's so much consternation down there in the ATL. Arthur Smith is not there this year, that they didn't use him enough last year for the media's liking, or maybe social media's liking. What do you make of who he is, 12-1 on the odds board here, and now with Raheem Morrison there, do you think they try to get the running game going as they figure out what's going to happen at quarterback?
Well, I mean, look, Algier 2 years ago averaged 5 yards a carry. Bijan didn't. Last year, I mean, you know, that was overkill. You can't play two backs, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying Bijan is really a dynamic pass catcher. He's a factor in the passing game, you know, and I think that's really where he's going to gain a lot. He'll give them that element that Todd Gurley gave the Rams when McVay first went there. You know, not just a screen pass catcher, but a true pass catcher. But they're going to rotate. Algier, they're going to get because Algier's a good player. He's not a great player, but he's a good player. And so I think he would be a play. Jacobs at 14 to 1, you know, because look, it's going to get cold. It's going to get, you know, you're going to have to run the ball there. And I do think they will give him the football.
Interesting odds board there. Let's get to the receivers, and you can understand why the Cheetah is the top of it.
Well, I'm playing Beckham here without a doubt. To me,
get
easy.
That 100 to 1 ready on.
Easy. I mean, I think that's a slam dunk. I'm going to play Diggs and Beckham because that's all we're going to hear about. Two guys who are third receivers on teams, and all we're going to talk about is Odell Beckham. He's on the Miami Dolphins, and oh my God, Stephon Diggs. You know, I mean,
Diggs, by the way, is 22 to 1.
It's just unbelievable.
Michael. It is unreal. Diggs is 22 to 1, by the way.
Oh my God, just give the money to the kids at St. Jude's, please. Just give that money to St. Jude's. I beg of you. I really do. Ridiculous. I think a lot of this comes down to, obviously, Hill's an easy play. You know, I think that's the easy one. I think Davante Adams is, there's no chance. 18 to 1. I mean, Davante Adams is not the same player he was two years ago. You know, he's kind of trending in the wrong direction, you know, and I think you got to be really careful about that. So, I what's shocking is Nakua's on this list. And I don't see Cooper Kupp on the list.
Not on the first board.
I mean, Cooper Kupp must be longer than 20 to 1. Yeah. That's remarkable, right?
28 to 1?
28. Thank you, Elliot. 28 to 1.
Wow.
That's remarkable.
That is. And you still have Stafford. Yeah.
I would say I would play at 9 to 1. I would play Chase. And, you know, I would still play A.J. Brown. Yep. I think he's going to have a big year, you know, because he got the new contract. And I think those are the places. I mean, one of the things you have to do in this category is believe that the coach can get the ball to the player when he's doubled. See, this category is really about who is the number one receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who is getting the ball when he's covered, right? Who is a true number one? And I think this category speaks volumes to that. You know, Michael Pittman's a good player, but people can take him out of the game. Right. And so I think you got to look at that really closely.
I love the Jamar Chase at 9 to 1 with Joey B being back. Right. Because we've seen him have he's had Justin Jefferson games, but I can't play JJ this year because you don't know who the quarterback is, whether it's Darnold or JJ McCarthy. Right. That doesn't feel like a playable number to me. Right.
I agree with you on that. Yeah. I think that's why Chase hits his contract year. Once Lamb gets a deal, once Jefferson gets a deal, Chase is going to see that money and go.
Yeah, I think it's sometimes easier to kind of X out people on the first page of that leaderboard that we just talked about in some of these profit markets versus... Well,
Drake London, I can't believe Drake London isn't on this list. How is Drake London not on this list? He's a number one receiver.
Harry Gagnon's going to join the program next when you come back with us right here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Check it out today at VSiN.com. We got your best bets betting splits exclusive articles, including Michael's got a great write-up on the Seattle Seahawks this year, maybe why the future is bright in the Pacific Northwest, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. It's all there for you to get your gambling day started at VSiN.com. Back alongside the aforementioned Michael Lombardi, I am Dave Ross. We continue this edition of the Lombardi Line. And Michael, always love it when you have Harry Gagnon join the program. You can follow Harry as I do on X at AAO Harry. Great follow. Of course, he is the host of the Against All Odds podcast. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Harry, great to see you again. And I love the fact that we're going to start off with a conversation in the world's most famous arena. And everybody says, because we love to bet NFL teasers. Mm-hmm. You can't bet NBA teasers, right, Harry? What's going on here?
You really can't, Dave. How are you guys doing? You really can't, but I'm going to push it up. Pacers up to 9.5. I'm going to tease over to 218. Look, guys, this is the situation. I'm playing the safe. Phantom calls, garbage calls, all going the way for New York in the Philly series. Game one against the Pacers. There were egregious calls. Just they really were, and they all are coming to fruition for the Knicks, trying to get them to the next round to play Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals, which is exactly what Adam Silver wants. So what I'm doing here, just in case, look, all those actors that are courtside for the Knicks game, Ben Stiller, Spike Lee, Chris Rock, list goes on and on, right? Nobody's a better actor than Dante DiVincenzo. That was the he sold that so good. Nobody's a better actor in Madison Square Garden. So I'm going to tease it. I'm going to, just in case it gets crazy again, guys, I'm going to tease to 9.5. And like I said, over 218.5, 42 straight games. Believe it or not, I looked this up. It took me a long time. 42 straight games. The Pacers have not lost to the Knicks by more than 10 points. And I'm sticking with my over from game one, which I really love the over in that game. Five of the last six meetings now between these two have gone over 232 points.
Wow.
You just need 219 on the teaser. The Villanova Big Three had 92 points combined in game one. Pacers plus 9.5. And I'm going with a, like I said, a 5-point teaser on the over to 218 as well. I know it's not great teasing overs in NBA, but I'm doing it tonight.
All right, so let's have a conspiracy conversation, because, you know, nobody likes conspiracies more than I do. I've read a zillion books on JFK. I got two new ones in today. All right, so, like, do you honestly believe that Silver thinks that the Knicks are going to win this? I mean, do you, like, you don't, with Robinson out and Randall out and Bogdanovich out, like, the Knicks are lean here, and Indiana looked fairly good to me the other night. Are you saying they're going to need the magic silver wand? Is that what you're telling me?
I'm saying it doesn't hurt. That's what I'm saying.
Are you telling me there's a second shooter? You're saying there's a second shooter, aren't you?
That's great. Yeah. Look, I'm saying is, if it's Boston versus New York in the Eastern Conference Finals, that's exactly what Adam Silver would want. It's like Charlie finding the golden ticket in Willy Wonka. It really is, because, you know, the ratings are going to be huge. The Knicks haven't been there in ages. They'd love to have New York versus Boston rivalry reheated. Nobody wants Indiana in there except the people who live in the state of Indiana. And even, I think, if Boston, mark this out, if Boston and the Knicks play in the Eastern Conference Finals, their ratings will be even better than if Boston wins that series and takes on Minnesota or whoever in the Western Conference. Boston, New York is where the ratings are at. That's what Silver wants. And there were 142 screens set in that Knicks-Pacers game. And that was the second, they called two fouls, offensive fouls. And that Turner one was the second one. And that comes off the heels of a phantom kick ball. If those two calls, Michael, went against New York in Madison Square Garden, Adam Silver wouldn't be smiling today. I guarantee that.
Well, Harry, let's stay with the conspiracy theory, because, you know, with the Lakers long gone out west, the defending champs are on the ropes here, down 0-2 to Minnesota. Who do you think, who's the star power? Who's box office? Who's New York City? You know, who's Fifth Avenue there that they would like to get in there against either Boston or New York, if we go with that conspiracy theory?
Well, I mean, Dallas would be good to have, you know, Luka and Kyrie in there. But again, Oklahoma City doesn't bring a lot of attention too, even though they're the one seed and they look fantastic yesterday. And Luka looks hurt, and he's 18 of 75 guys in the playoffs from 3-point range. They had 15 turnovers as a team last night. But OKC isn't the big draw either, but I'd love to see them because they're a fantastic team and everyone contributes. But then really it looked like it's going to be Minnesota. They look fantastic. Everything's working for this team. Edwards has been tremendous. Putting up big numbers, and Rudy Gobert, I just got Defensive Player of the Year. Everything's clicking for Minnesota too, but still, Minnesota, never been there before. It's interesting. It'd be great to watch. I think them versus Boston would be a lot of fun to watch in the NBA Finals. But again, I think, you know, the ratings will be so-so compared to Boston and New York in the Eastern Conference, which is what everybody wants.
Yeah, but I think, don't you think Anthony Edwards is such a star that if Minnesota gets to the finals, I mean, you know, look, I get that people all get caught up in the size of the market, huh?
Yeah, people watch, and I'll watch because I'll be rooting for the Timberwolves, and he's been fantastic. I mean, everything he does has turned to gold since the last couple weeks here in the playoffs. They haven't lost. They're rolling everybody. I mean, it's one thing to go on the road and win in the play and be in the NBA in the playoffs. But when you go in on the road, you play the number one seed, the defending champs, and you steamroll them and you hold them to 80 points in both games. Now we're talking a whole new ball game. They could beat Boston. I'd love to see it. Let's see it happen. But again, I just I don't know if the, you know, again, I think Boston, New York is where it's at
right now. Timberwolves, by the way, plus $1.05 to get out of the West with that 2-0 series lead over Denver. They're going to resume game three. No suspension for Jamal Murray out there in Minnesota. Harry, got to ask you about a puck play that you have tonight out West between the Oilers and Canucks. You're going to go with a player prop and maybe a guy on each side to get a point. Who do you got tonight?
Yeah, you know, I did this on Against All Odds earlier in the week, and I hit that, so I'm going to do it again. You get plus money here, guys, at plus 112. Both guys to report at least a point in the Canucks-Oiler game. I'm going to start with Leon Draisaitl of the Oilers. He scored at least 1 point in every game versus L.A. in the first series, and 11 straight games, Draisaitl has scored at least 1 point in Vancouver. In fact, the last time he didn't score a point in the province of British Columbia was December of 2018. So give me Draisaitl to get at least a point tonight against Vancouver. And I'm going to take Quinn Hughes for the Canucks. He was second in Vancouver in scoring in the regular season. He was first in assists with 75. Hughes, last three games at home versus Edmonton, has 9 total points. So give me Hughes, Draisaitl, both to record a point, and you get plus money.
All right, let's go on your who do you think is going to be in the hockey finals based on your conspiracy theories, and then throw us your baseball pick. I know you like the Braves today. So who's going to be? Go ahead.
Last night, I think the Rangers got outplayed. Still a gritty team. Big, everything's coming up roses for the Rangers and the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. It just seems they can't lose there. But I think the Rangers are a very tough team. I found it very interesting too that they were the underdog in the series, considering they were the one that they had more points, more wins than Carolina coming in, and they were the underdog still. A little bit of disrespect there. So I think it could be the Rangers. This Ranger Panthers, I mean, Bruins, if it came, Bruins are playing great, and they rolled in game one against the Panthers, which was very surprising. So if it's Rangers Bruins for the Eastern Conference, that'll be fantastic to watch. But I think the Rangers might have the nod here. And the Avalanche have a ton of star power. What a performance by them. Gritty last night. They were down 3-0 15 minutes into the game. They come back. They tie it. Send it overtime. McKinnon wins it. The team is fantastic. They got weapons all over. Mikko Rantanen's a big assist guy, especially when it comes to the power play for Colorado. So I'd like to see Rangers-Avalanche. I think that'd be fun. And you mentioned, Mike, I do like the Braves against the Red Sox today in baseball. Minus the 1.5. You get plus 105. I'm taking Chris Sale against his former team in Atlanta. On Wednesday, Sale 3-0 in Atlanta with an ERA under 3 at home this season. In his last two starts overall versus Seattle and Cleveland, he went 12 innings, 200 runs, gave up just one walk and recorded 15 strikeouts. He's had at least 6 Ks in all 6 starts this season. And his last 3 starts, Atlanta's won all 3 and won those games by a combined 12 runs. Meanwhile, for the Red Sox, starter Nick Pivetta, first start coming off the DL, and he had 2 starts last year against Atlanta where he gave up 7 earned runs in 9 innings. So the Braves, big time today, minus 1.5 over the Boston.
I got about 45 seconds left, Harry. Based on what you saw so far, and as a Metropolitan fan, I just can't root for the Braves. Maybe I can bet on them, though, today with Sale, lay that 1.5. After what the Dodgers did to the Braves, does that reassert that the Dodgers clearly are the team to beat in the National League, or do you think the Braves, just a bad weekend, they'll still be heard from?
Oh, I think they'll be heard from, but also I think, you know, look, you know, Dodgers rolled again last night and nobody, the big four for them didn't even do anything offensively and they still rolled. But a team also to look out for plenty is this Phillies team. This Phillies team is a machine. You look at that lineup, everybody's batting over 300. Everybody's batting 300 almost on this Phillies team. So that's a team definitely to look out for as well. I mean, Dodgers, Phillies, Braves, that's a great three in the National League.
Yeah, in an era where nobody seems to hit 300, everybody's hitting 300 for the Phillies. Harry, lovely talk
except
conversation.
Except Schwarber, and you don't need him to because he's going to hit 40 home runs anyways. So what's it matter?
Yeah, he can hit 210. It doesn't matter as long as he hits those 40 bombs. Harry, appreciate it. Thanks for hopping on the Progressive Guest Line with us.
Thanks, Harry.
Always, guys. Thanks, Mike. Thanks to Dave. Take care, guys.
Great stuff as always from Harry Gagnon. When we come back, Would You Wednesday. That's next here in the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can bet $5, get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code VEASAN only on DraftKings, and the crown can be all yours.
Maybe a stupid one, but I'm just spitballing here.
Can it make you say why not?
That wasn't a stupid question.
It's time for Why Not Wednesday.
I mean, why not?
You know when they say it's so crazy it just might work?
Yes, Michael, I called it would you, but it's Why Not Wednesday. And let's see, would you, why not make some of these wagers? Let's start off in the association, okay? And the big news today, Jamal Murray is going to be allowed to be on the court for game 3. In Minnesota, the reigning defendings are down 0-2. They are now 4-1 dogs to win this series. Why not, Michael Lombardi, the Nuggets at 4-1 to beat the T-Wolves?
No, I'm not going there. And I think a lot of this is getting focused on what he did on the court. But I think the frustration of the injury, you know, we had Vic Lombardi on earlier in the week, and he talked about Murray's injury. I get the sense that, you know, yes, Murray is frustrated. I'm sure he was mad at the officials. Who isn't mad at the officials? I mean, is there ever a game that you watch in the NBA where after a guy scores, he doesn't complain?
No.
Like, there should be. If I was a commissioner of the NBA, I would put the no complaining rule in. Like, how many times can you throw your hands up when you don't think you get called foul, right? It's an epidemic. But I don't think Murray's healthy, and they don't have a bench. And Minnesota, even without Gobert and the way Karl Anthony Towns is playing, and of course, Anthony Edwards is playing at such a high level, you know, with Mike Conley doing it, I think Minnesota's the better team right now.
Denver is 12-1, by the way, excuse me, to repeat as NBA champions down in this 0-2 hole. And I always say it's like the UFC equivalent of judging. Everybody gets on the judges, and I do it too. I was like, hey, I thought they had a good week last week in Rio. So, like, let's not always blame the officials and everybody. Sometimes they actually do get it right. Okay, Why Not Wednesday continues in the NFL with the Bengals. Could they have the most wins in the NFL? If so, 9-1, Michael Lombardi. Why not?
You can get me on that. I mean, I'm a Bengal fan. Now, look, they've got there's a lot of elements to the Bengals that you've got to understand, right? I mean, you know, they've got one of the best quarterbacks in football, and he's healthy. You know, they've got a little bit of a precarious situation at right tackle, you know, with Trent Brown. Can he play there? Will he play at a high level? Will Mims come through for them as a rookie? We don't know. They drafted Burton, who is a little bit, you know, you got to be worried about him off the field. Then they draft McKinley Jackson. You're worried about him off the field. But as the team, as a whole, you know, I think they did a really good job improving their defense. Chris Jenkins is going to help for Michigan. Mm-hmm. They get those two safeties, which Lou Amoromo needed really badly to coordinate it. You get Geno Stone. You bring back Von Bell. I like the team. Yeah, I think they're really a good team, and I think they've got a lot of good stuff to them. I like Amoromo. I think he gives his team toughness. And look, with Burrow, that offense is hard to stop.
We just talked about it with Harry Gagnon in the last segment.
They can't start slow, though.
Yeah.
They got us. They can't. This low way they go with the North being as good as it is, I don't think you can risk that. I really don't.
Yeah, it could be a four-horse race, so they can't get off to this traditional slow starts. Certainly not to cash that ticket at 9-1. Conversely, why not? The Giants, looks like Danny Dimes is back to being the guy. Would you make a bet at 10-1 that the G-Man would have the fewest wins in the entire league?
Oh, I would make that bet. I mean, because I think anytime you're making that bet, David, you're looking at who has quarterback issues, mm-hmm. right? And have the Giants really improved? I think the Giants drank the Kool-Aid 2 years ago. I got ripped on Twitter about, you know, I said this at the time and got destroyed by that incredibly brilliant Twitter crowd about, you know, the Giants have the disease of me. And even Carl Banks, who I love to death, you know, he rips me. Everybody rips me. And, you know, they paid Daniel Jones. And, you know, even Barkley came out and said, yeah, we had the disease of me. I don't see the team as being that talented. I know they've made changes to the coaching staff. I know they got a new offensive line coach. But at the end of the day, I don't have any faith in Daniel Jones. maybe I'm wrong, but history tells me I'm right.
Yep. I would probably lean towards your side than some of the X machine. That's for sure. Let's get back to the Knicks.
Not everybody's going to win. That's the thing. And not everybody's winning. I mean, you can only get Carolina will improve just by having professional coaching. So, like, at some point, who are the bad teams? And you start when the bad teams, you start the quarterback position.
Yeah, and certainly, look, I think the NFC East is getting better, but we'll figure out what they are because they know what they have with Daniel Jones. I'm still surprised that's the direction they're going, but let's see if it works out for them. But at fewest wins, 10-1, why not? How about the Knicks? Not just to get by Indiana. We know that it's not good with Mitchell Robinson news here. He's going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. Could they actually win the whole thing, which means win the East? And that would mean beating Boston. So why not? Knicks as Eastern Conference champions at plus 310?
No chance. You can get me on this one. Look, I love Thibodeau. I love World Wide West. World Wide West stays here in Ocean City 3 months in the summer. I see him at Stephen Cookie's restaurant all the time. I love him. Great conversation. But this is business. This isn't personal. They're running out of men. It's not fair. Mm-hmm. You can't lose Randall. You can't lose Robinson. You can't lose Bogdanovich. Like, they need reinforcements. And unfortunately, you can't get them. And Tibbs is stubborn. I mean, he's only going to put guys on the court that he trusts in playoff time. And it's going to take a lot for him to do that. I mean, he's going to have to change because he's running out of people. And the way Indiana played the other night, how fast they were, the ball moves so quickly. You know, they're going to wear you down. It's a test of endurance, the 7-game series, too.
Yeah, the Knicks are clearly a case right now of a few good men, and they're getting fewer. All right, how about this? Why not Wednesday? Deshaun Watson, we heard the GM expecting big things this year out of Deshaun in the land. 15-1 for Deshaun to be the comeback player of the year. Why not, Michael Lombardi?
Yeah, I mean, I would say why not. I mean, I was a huge Deshaun Watson fan when he came out of Clemson. I really was. I thought he was going to be a really good pro. I haven't been a fan of his since all the events that have happened down in Houston. And I haven't seen him throw the ball anywhere near the quality of play that he had. You know, the one guy, Will Fuller, was his great receiver at the Texans, and he used to make a lot of plays down the field. And there was always those graphics that the networks would put up, you know, Deshaun without Will, Deshaun with Will. I think it's worthwhile because we've seen him do it at one time in his career. So it's there. Now, can he do it again? I don't know. But I think it's pizza money worth a why not.
I think this might be my favorite question for you today on Why Not Wednesday. Right there in the city of brotherly shove, we're going to give you 20-1 that the king, LeBron James, is coming to Philadelphia to join forces with Joel and Maxi. Why not, Michael?
No way. Because like I said yesterday, LeBron wants to live in L.A. LeBron's trying to get enough money to buy a team. He keeps playing to do that. I mean, you know, it's not his fault. It was Darvin Ham's fault. David, damn it. Stop trying to blame players. It's not fair. It was all Darvin Ham. He didn't know what he was doing. And so LeBron's going to stay there at $50 million, and he's going to take all the money and wonder why the team isn't better. Look, I think to me, if he were smart, seriously, and I'm being really serious, he were smart, he would do that.
He would.
Because, you know, you got to get out of the West. You're not beating the West.
Totally agree. It's the Tom Brady philosophy, right, of take less for other people around to give you more pieces. Speaking of the Patriots in the old Tom Brady way, how about this for Why Not Wednesday? Drake May, and I know it's like, oh, he's not going to start for a while. How about a flyer at plus 350 that he actually does start week one?
No, you can't get me on this one, David. No chance. I mean, he's not ready to start. It's not fair to the kid. It's not fair. Now, he could have to start because of Brissett, but there's no reason to start him. As long as Jacoby Brissett's healthy, there's no reason. There has to be a plan that is in place for his development. And the best thing for his development is to not start. The best thing for his development is to take time and kind of step back because he's not ready to go in there and face this game. It's way too fast, and that offensive line needs to get kind of some legs underneath them. They need to get some stability there. So, yeah, you wouldn't get me. That's a St. Jude's play. You can make that 800-1. You can make it 1,000. I'm not playing it. I'm really not, because it's they didn't sign. They didn't give $8 million
right
to Brissett to sit him
right
as a backup. Now you say, well, what happens if he has a great preseason? It's hard to have great preseasons nowadays. It's hard.
Totally agree. Very quickly, Sam Howell to start week one, Pacific Northwest. You just did a deep dive on Seattle. I don't think you like this. I'm going to say that you're going to say not, because I think you like what they already have at quarterback.
No, I would take Sam Howell on pizza money at plus 225. Ooh. I think the guy's good. I think he's been unfairly maligned, and I would have never given up on him.
Hmm. So you think he's got a real shot out there in Seattle. That's very interesting. Michael, great stuff. Last couple of days, it's been a lot of fun being with you, so we'll do it again soon. But thanks for hanging out last couple
days. I'm going to go back and watch more of Odell. I can't wait to watch Odell some more.
Get those
go home
prop,
and watch Odell run
get
routes.
Get those prop bets in. Cash some tickets, everybody. See you next time here on the Lombardi Line.